Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. I always say back when it's a new episode. I don't know why.
Yeah, but they're coming back to listen again.
I guess so. I mean, they're returning to the fantasticness. Garrett here, obviously, Brad and Wade joining me as per usual.
Hello.
It's Wednesday. Wade's Friday, November the 5th.
As always, what's going on, everyone?
Remember,
can you believe it's November already?
That's scary. It really is scary.
Gunpowder treason?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
I was reciting movie line from V for Vendetta about what I'm only assuming has something to do with a British Revolution on November the 5th. But I could be wrong.
Gunpowder plot.
If I'm wrong, our listeners can let us know. Or let me know.
I did. I'm sure they will.
I'm sure they will. So what's going on?
Not much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, your
family, never is a whole lot.
Your family didn't grow at all this weekend or
anything? Ah. You asked what is going on, not what has gone
well,
on.
Well, it was kind of an all-encompassing singular question.
Fine. Yeah, so very exciting news. Our family expanded by one this weekend. We got the opportunity and took the opportunity to adopt a rescue dog from the shelter, or rescue a dog from the shelter, I suppose would be the better way of saying it. So we now have a lab pit bull mix as a member of our family, and my goodness, if she isn't adorable and loving.
She's a pretty girl.
Definitely is.
Although,
so
like we talked about, there's, I don't know how much lab is really in that dog, but like we said, that for publicity purposes, they kind of have to weigh heavy on the non-pit factor for media purposes.
Yeah, which is really sad. You know, obviously we, being who we are, did research going into this. We didn't go in blind. And the media scares over pit breeds is really blown out of proportions. In fact, if in personality tests, pit bulls score higher, as in friendlier and better for families, than other breeds that are generally considered more family-friendly, like bloodhounds and Labradors.
What was that one show where it had, like, a bunch of little people, but the main guy was, like, showing pit bulls?
Yeah, he had a pit bull rescue
center
kind of deal, but he also was a, like, talent agent for midgets or dwarfs. It was on Discovery Channel, I forget what it was.
Yeah, I remember there was one where the dog was being modeled, or there was a model with the dog, and they wanted to put, like, a chain around the dog's neck, and he didn't, like, allow it to go because it was putting that negative stigma of the pit bull.
Yep. I remember that.
Yep, so we definitely went the same way, and she has a pretty pink collar, no chains.
I will say choke chains are good for walks only.
Yeah, not those, you know, like,
that should be it. Those ones that have the spikes on them are just cruel.
Yeah, I was just about to go there.
Like, if you train your dog right with a choke chain is more than enough to get the point across. But yeah, wearing or chained up all the time, there's, yeah, we could go on and on about the immorality and inhumane actions that pertains to
animals, dogs in general, but have really given the pit bull breed a really bad name that they don't deserve.
Well, and it's sad because it's such a media-based stigma. I mean, if a pit bull bites somebody, we'll hear about it.
Yep.
But if any other dog breed, quote-unquote, attacks a human, and I, you know, attack is hardly ever the correct word, it may go unpublished because it's not contributing to the urban legend that is the pit bull.
Yes.
They also call them something else, too. It's something, it's not terrier.
Yeah, anyway. They're pit bull terriers.
No, but there's another breed or breed name that is either given to or is a dog very, very similar to a pit bull that a lot of people will use that for the pit bull to get away from the pit bull name, even though for all intents and purposes it's the same dog.
Got it.
I forget what that is. Anyway, very cool. No, it's exciting for you. Did you guys, because your backyard was pretty open when I was out there, is it all, did you fence it off or anything?
No, we didn't fence it off. She's going to be mainly an indoors dog. we made the option to, we did get a tie out for her that will only be used when we're outside. You know, we're not going to chain her up and just leave her.
Yeah.
But no, she's part of the family. She's going to be a family pet. So when we're outside, she can go on the tie out and run around, and we'll be out there to play with her. And when we come in, she comes in too.
Yeah, when you and your family have the benefit of having your wife be a stay-at-home, that she's always around. You know?
Yep.
You know, for some people that have dogs that work all day and they're indoor dogs, they end up being in a crate the whole time. And, you know, I scratch my head and wonder why you have a dog at that point. But to each their own, to try not to judge too heavily.
Well, and when we do have to leave her home, the good thing is she is very, very well crate trained. She came to us decently trained, which is a blessing for a rescue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
You know, for a couple hours, you know, if we have to run errands and stuff, she doesn't mind being in her crate. But, yeah, I agree. If they're going to spend, you know, 2/3 of the day in a crate, then why bother?
Agreed. Well, very good. Anything else noteworthy worth sharing?
Nope, that was our weekend.
That was pretty much the extent of it, and that's fair.
Yeah,
that's
we got her Saturday and spent the rest of the weekend trying to, you know, get to know her and her signals and training and
very good.
Just adapt.
Yep, it is a change.
Yes, it is.
Wade, what do you got going on?
Other than eagerly awaiting BlizzCon and dodging the first pack of people coming through the airport to go to BlizzCon. yeah. Broke my mic stand yesterday. Noise.
Yeah, how did you do that?
I don't know. I just grabbed it like I normally would, and it just sheared off.
I bet you had the tension screw in too tight, and probably...
Most likely. It's like, do I not know my own strength?
Well, sometimes the metal of these things are crap, too, and it doesn't take much to just snap it. It's what they call cheap pot metal, where they don't really forge it all that much. They just have a mold, they pour it in. It cools rapidly, so there's a lot of air bubbles in it. It's junk. Anyway, that sucks for you.
Yeah, well, now I'm using the table stand. I actually think it's better. I mean, it's a lot less cumbersome.
Yep, no, it is. I mean, for this action, obviously, with the other stuff you do with your channel, it may not be the most useful, but that's all about to change. I've mentioned previously, and unfortunately prematurely in most cases, that we have been researching and finding new residents, and it is a full green light. Actually, we are looking to either get keys either this Friday, which is the 7th, or... which would be best case scenario, otherwise sometime next week. So we will keep everybody posted via the social media on if we will be having a show next week or if it will get postponed due to move or if that will be the week following. So keep posted with us on the Facebook and whatnot, and we will keep you in the know. And otherwise, not too much really going on. The kid and I have Taekwondo testing this weekend, so... I don't foresee any issues with that progressing to the next belt, which is awesome. And
what color would that be?
In the American Taekwondo Association, it would be camouflage. Clearly not a traditional Korean belt style. But it kind of signifies the level in which you would start sparring. So...
Okay. I've
got to talk to the kid on whether she wants to go into sparring classes or if she wants to go into like into a weapons class where they do nunchucks or bow staff or whatever the case that way. So That would be her call.
Funny to see her wielding a bow staff. That'd be pretty great.
She's been doing it. We've done it a couple classes just for fun. The instructors decided to want to change it up a little bit. So we've done a little bit of weapons classes here and there.
Huh.
But it's good stuff. We have hopes to go to the movies this weekend. We'll get to that in a little bit, but that is totally up to the whim of moving. So, and when we get the keys to the house. So big things on the horizon for us here, and we'll keep everybody posted. With that said, let's jump right into the movies, shall we?
Yay, movies!
So woo-hoo! Coming out this week in the movies, we have Interstellar, which is Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, Michael Caine, and Casey Affleck. Rated PG-13, it has a 73% critic rating. And from what I gather and the brief synopsis here is that Earth is becoming uninhabitable and key astronauts have to travel beyond the galaxy to discover whether mankind has a future among the stars. It's a WALL-E prequel. No. This is done by Paramount Pictures, by the way. So that's all fine and good. Big Hero number 6, or actually Big Hero 6. This is a Disney movie. This is what we were planning or are hoping to go see this weekend. 81% critic rating, which is awesome. Rated PG for everybody included. And if you haven't seen the trailers for this, you should. This is done by the Frozen folks and the Wreck-It Ralph folks, not Pixar. And it's about a big giant air balloon robot guy who becomes a hero and they fight some masked villain.
Using nanomachines.
Who apparently has, yes, control of nanites. That's an iRobot reference, by the way.
All right.
No? Okay.
No. It's been too long since I've seen it.
That's such a good movie, though. I love that movie.
It is a good movie.
Such with a good Will depiction Smith. Of the future. Coming out also, Jezebel. This is a 29% critic rating. This is nobody worth noting as far as actor-wise. A lot of up-and-comers from what I can say. Not that they're bad. They're just, they haven't hit it big yet. This is from the Paranormal Activity folks, where a girl returns home after a horrific car accident and seems to be followed by a long-tormented spirit. There's your plot in whole Wade, so now you don't have to go see it. This is done by Lionsgate, who generally do pretty good movies. I typically like their stuff, but unfortunately, again, it is at 29% critic rating. So maybe think twice about that one. I'd say go see Ouija, which is doing well at the box office, but it got an even weaker critic rating, so maybe not. Now, here's a fun one, Brad. This caters to kind of you and me. The Theory of Everything. This has an 86% critic rating. It is rated PG-13, and this is, to keep it short, the story of the one, the only, the renowned astrophysicist, Mr. Wheelchair himself, Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
This goes all the way back to before his illness, falling in love, marrying his now wife. I have her name here too. It's like Jane or June or something like that. Anyway. And it goes into their scientific works, their discoveries, trying to unravel the mysteries of time, space, and everything. So, this is done by the Focus Entertainment Group. So hopefully all things go well there. Again, 86% critic rating. So if you are a documentary lover or love science, definitely one for you to see. The last one, and this is kind of a throwaway in my mind, it's called Why Don't You Play in Hell? It's got an 80% critic rating, which is great. It is unrated, but it is definitely a Japanese story. It's based with the Kitagawa Yakuza clan. All the actors are, from what I can tell, are all very Japanese. So I'm not sure if this is going to be a wide release or not, because it seems kind of like a foreign film, and those are kind of hit and miss on the theater releases. In the box office, we have, as I said, Ouija getting $10.7 million this past weekend, Nightcrawler $10.4 million, Fury holding strong at third, that's got $8.8 million, and Gone Girl still in there at $8.5 million. So that's that.
Wow.
That's
been a few weeks in there.
It has been. Fury and Gone Girl have been holding on pretty strong. So our movie experience, we had kind of an interesting one. We talked some weeks back on the movie, was it Inside the Skin?
Under the Skin.
Under the Skin. This was the Scarlett Johansson movie where she supposedly played an alien who would seduce and capture whatever male targets, so to speak. We had high anticipations of trying to go see it when it was supposed to be coming out. It was such a limited release that we couldn't find anywhere here. Well, we got a copy of it, and it's interesting. And aside from a few visual benefits of Scarlett being in the movie, and I mean a few, and I mean benefits, that's about the extent of this movie. I mean, the rest of it, the whole time you're trying to figure out what the heck is going on. That if it weren't for her and if it weren't for some of the scenery, it would be a complete waste of time. So, if you can find a copy and have to pay for it, great. And you're curious, by all means, I'm not going to stop you. If you ask me if it's a great movie, I'll be honest with you and tell you no.
Yeah. There was not a lot of exposition.
There wasn't a lot of script dialogue, period.
Most of the guys she was, quote, unquote, seducing, couldn't even understand them anyway.
Yeah, it's all based in Ireland, Britain, whatnot, so the accents are pretty thick. You barely understand what some of the guys are saying, only because of the depth and the strength of their accent.
Now, I actually did do some research on this.
Okay, good.
Apparently, what she was doing was harvesting meat for her planet. Mm-mm. Apparently, human meat is a delicacy on her planet.
Yeah, that's not expressed anywhere in the movie.
None.
At all.
It's just, I think there was one point where that meat slide thing.
Yeah, they showed like a conveyor belt or something. It just looked like, looked like goop. It looked like soup. Not fully cured jello or something.
Oh, yeah, God. yeah. But anyway, apparently this was based off a book. No, not a Twilight ripoff.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, no one was...
There was kind of a love story.
Mm.
It was weak, but there was something there.
So apparently this in her, or on her planet, air quotes, the rich, the posh live on the surface of the planet, while the unrich lived on, or basically in the planet underground. And this was not expressed in any way.
Yeah, you
so this is all extra material that you've done research on later?
Yeah, that's correct.
Apparently you have to read the book to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, so
that has got to be one of the worst adaptations then. If you can't figure out what's going on from what they show on screen, that's crap.
Not only is it a bad adaptation, it's just a bad movie. I mean, I don't say that a lot, but it was a bad movie.
It's fun. Weird is that the first girl that she was stripping for the clothes was also an alien. Was not shown in any way. Other than she might have been unusually skinny, is what I commented on when we watched that.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Scarlett has looked better. She was a little thick in this, but, you know, that could be onset of baby weight or whatever. Definitely not the Scarlett we know from Avengers. I don't even know when they filmed it. We should try to find that out just for giggles.
It's people that win the high art or big up there actors. There we go. Actors and actresses do little low budget movies. You gotta wonder why.
Yeah, is it just something they want to do, or is there, who knows? It's like they don't have to do it for the money, that's for sure. Anyway, that's it for movies. Jump into some news.
I guess that's my cue.
Yep.
News. So, We covered several months ago how Microsoft was going to be getting involved with the National Football League and providing the tablets for all the official NFL material.
Yes.
And how the ESPN commentators were having a really hard time with what to call this and wanting to keep calling it an iPad as a generic term, which of course Apple is loving.
Of course.
Of course. Well, so Microsoft decided to try and bounce back from this. Here in the U.S., we just had midterm elections. So as part of the news coverage, Microsoft teamed up with CNN and provided Microsoft Surfaces for them to use on set for all the political commentary. A couple of astute viewers managed to capture some screenshots that showed exactly how useful the Microsoft Surfaces were, and they were absolutely incredible. In careful study, you will find, and the link will be in the show notes for you to go check the photo for yourself, that they were using the Surfaces as iPad stands.
You're joking.
No, I'm not.
No. Okay.
Yeah, so anybody that's looked at a Surface, and I'm actually trialing one for our team right now, the Surface has a really nice built-in kickstand that pulls out from the back of it, and it'll prop itself up, but it's really well-designed. I won't knock them on that. So the CNN anchors have, you know, that kickstand propped out and the Surface sitting up on the table looking all nice, but if you look carefully at the edges, they've got an iPad sitting on the face of it.
That's hilarious.
That's great. Yeah.
And is that because that is... the producers or the anchors, whatever, decided they wanted to use one over the other, or...
Yep.
That's funny.
So that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is his $900 iPad stand.
Sign me up.
Just give me the $900. I really don't need the...
Yeah.
But to if be all you're getting is for the stand, can't you buy the cheaper standard Surface?
Well, I suppose, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
To be fair, I have been, like I said, I have been trialing the Surface Pro 3. This is a little bit of an aside. You know, it's actually a very nice, very capable machine. It is not an iPad replacement, but it's actually well done.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that their whole marketing campaign right now is outshining a MacBook with the Surface.
Yes.
And had they done that when they first announced the Surface, instead of having people dance around with the stupid keyboard connection...
Oh, God, yeah.
They might have had something to stand on. But up until now, people have still resorted to the iPad. That's been the go-to. And they've, you know, mounted a big old pile for them to try to climb. And instead of starting it out with being a hill that it was, now it's Mount Everest.
That commercial, I mean, really? It's like, yep, I'm going to be sliding across the table with my tablet. And
yeah.
I know people that not thought happening. That was a keyboard ad.
I did. I thought they thought it was like, it's the Surface. I'm like, oh, a Surface keyboard, cool. I was like, oh, wait, that's the
for my tablet? iPad, right?
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool, it's Surface keyboard snaps into the iPad. Awesome. And I was like, oh, wait, that's a tablet? What?
Yeah. So, again, I know I'm digressing slightly from my main story, but you bring up a good point. All their advertising now pits it against an iPad Air. Or, sorry, a MacBook Air.
Correct.
Based on that comparison, you know, Windows versus OS X fight aside, just from a pure hardware standpoint, it is a beautiful device.
Yeah, it
hands down,
up.
They've done a good job with it. If you're looking for a Windows laptop that you occasionally need to turn into a tablet, it's awesome. If you're looking for a tablet, it's not.
Sure.
So.
There you go.
But yeah, I just... thought it was funny. Microsoft strikes out again.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, speaking of big companies striking out, AT&T, this was in the news last week. We was hoping to cover it last week, but, you know, we had Halloween to talk about. So now we talk about it here. Apparently the FTC, yes, that's the Federal Trade Commission, not some guy on the street, is upset with AT&T's recent unlimited data plan and has felt the need to sue them for it. The FTC chairman claims that AT&T promised its customers, quote, unlimited data, and failed to deliver on that promise. The issue is simple. Unlimited means unlimited. Now, for those who didn't have an unlimited data plan, what was happening is that you weren't charged for going over the 2 gigs that's kind of the standard for a cell phone plan now per line. If you went over that, fine, good for you. But what AT&T and Verizon as well were doing was they would throttle the data rate so aggressively that it made it not usable. Wow. I had an unlimited plan on my iPhone. If I exceeded 2 gigs for a month, it was so slow that you might as well have had your data shut off. It was really, really bad. AT&T has come out and said that they've been nothing but transparent with their customers. They claim that the FTC's statements are completely baseless. But I know that that's what they did. Now, the legality factor of it, or what may have been in a contract that AT&T gets to stand behind, it probably said, hey, yeah, we'll not charge you, but there is throttling. And if you signed your terms and conditions, you as a customer don't really have anything to say about it. You don't want to pay more for anything over 2 gigs? Great. Well, here's the counter to that. And if you agree to it, then that's on you.
Mm-hmm. Fine print reading?
Yeah, exactly. Who needs the terms and conditions form? I don't.
I'm glad the FTC has stepped in on this. Yes, you kind of agreed to it, but I mean, I don't know. It just seems to me like they hide the fine print. I mean, they have to give it to you, but seriously, you have to sign it before they get you started. Are you going to stand at the counter and read 56 pages of legal? I think this is the problem with most terms of services, though.
Oh, God,
They're written in a language, you know, legalese, and couched in such a way that most people don't read them because they're, you know, barely understandable. It barely counts as English.
Yeah, you almost got to send them off to your own attorney and say, hey, is this legit?
Yeah.
What is this really saying?
If the first party commits the action with the second party, with the third party and the fourth party, like, what?
Yeah. No.
It's all double talk and circular. But yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of it, if anything. I found it interesting that it was the FTC doing this and not, you know, a consumer. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, the fact that they've stepped in. Now,
go get 'em.
Unlimited data plan hasn't been available to consumers in 2 or 3 years unless you were grandfathered in for a period. But I think those have mostly gone by the wayside.
And there's plenty of people not upgrading. Because they will lose their unlimited plan.
Yep. Okay. That was me for a while.
There is no reason to get an unlimited plan because either I'm at work or at home, I'm still connected to a Wi-Fi.
Yep.
Work in an airport, there's a Wi-Fi. Home, I have a Wi-Fi. I don't need an unlimited data plan, so. Yep. I guess you can pick and choose where you need to, what you need to search, but if it does become a problem where it's too slow, I mean, that is a major problem.
Well, mm-hmm. You've got a society now who's so based on connectivity.
Oh, yeah.
And being always available or always in the know, having access to the internet wherever, whenever, however, that when you take that ability away, even though they paid for unlimited data, that becomes a problem in people's minds.
Well, start to ask, what do you really need to know?
That's not important.
Everything.
What can I know?
Yeah.
That's the way the world works now.
Anywho.
I need to know everything.
And I need it now.
Okay. Anywho.
High speed. Unlimited.
Easy killer.
You done?
Yes.
All right. Apparently, YouTube wanted to weigh in our discussion of the last podcast. They are now offering upload and playback for 60 frames per second videos. This was announced...
How many frames per second?
60.
Okay, just making sure.
60.
Okay. One more time.
60 frames per second video announced earlier in June.
Okay, thank you.
There we go. So, the update hit this week. You can now watch in glorious 60 frames per second. It does take longer to upload. I have always actually been recording in 60 frames, so that really doesn't affect me.
Yeah, I know a lot of people would play games in 30 for record for recording purposes, and they definitely would see a difference. Apparently, 30 to 60 from a gaming standpoint, response times or whatever, is substantial versus just watching TV is not necessarily so much.
Well, yeah. It's the... to provide, I guess, smoother look for it.
I have to look, though, because I think your TV still might be 30 frames per second.
Yeah, you did say it had a 30-second cap.
I'm not sure. I could be wrong, but I think it might be
30 frames per second cap.
So even though you're playing the game in 60 and recording it in 60, you're still not seeing it in 60.
Well, at least it's still getting response time as if it was in 60, I think.
Maybe. You're still reacting to 30.
Yep.
Your brain and what you see and what you react to.
You will respond to whatever the TV is showing.
No, my brain is hurting now.
Now he's having to think and come to terms with it.
It's 60 hertz.
Huh?
Okay.
That was...
Never mind. He said... never mind.
Yeah, please don't. So, YouTube now is catching up with the times and offering 60 frames per second service.
Yep.
Woohoo!
Does take longer to upload, but, well, what are you going to do? Provide better quality?
It's going to be a bigger file size as well, I would think.
Yep.
So hence the longer upload times.
That's nice. Apparently, we now have the backing of YouTube when a game company says, oh, well, 30 is just as good. And you go, no. YouTube says 60 is better. But,
yeah. I can upload to YouTube in 60 frames per second at 4K. Where's my game?
Yeah, where's my game at 60? So,
fantastic. Brad, back to you.
Back to me. So, I'm glad you guys brought up the subject of DRM.
We did?
When?
I don't know.
Oh. I thought I did something that I shouldn't have done.
Yeah. We're going to knock off, right? We can just go get like a sandwich?
Yeah. Let's go run down the street, get some pizza.
I love how both of you guys said we did at the same time. Like, oh, who did that?
It's because we know better.
Which one of us was stupid enough to say that?
To open up that can of worms.
Actually, we do have a DRM story this week. And this comes back to, I know we've talked about it before, and we'll continue to talk about it, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and how overreaching that is on so many levels. So the story this week, the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is a lobby group that works to protect electronic rights, is filing a request to the Librarian of Congress. That is the person that, in between legislative sessions, has the authority over what is covered under copyright. And so they're filing a rather interesting request for an exemption. They've done this before. They've gotten exemptions on stuff such as jailbreaking your iPhone, or even when your contract is up, being able to unlock your phone's locking mechanism so you can take it, you know, for instance, from AT&T to T-Mobile, etc. So the part of the DMCA that they're requesting an exemption from is the circumvention section that basically says if you try to circumvent protection that you're essentially committing copyright fraud and are liable for prosecution. Where this comes into play is more and more cars have computer chips, ECUs, electronic control units, that control the functions of the car. Under the DMCA, if the auto manufacturer puts in any kind of protection on the ECU, then you trying to tinker with your car is prosecutable.
So, technically, you chipping or changing the map, the fuel map on your car, based on that statement, would be a violation of copyright and factor, and you are now potentially legally liable.
Correct.
Awesome.
Isn't it, though?
No.
This isn't, again, I know I've beat on this horse, but I'll continue to because it's an important issue. This is what happens when you create laws that are so broad that, you know, these lawmakers that don't think things through fully, this is what happens. Now you're not allowed to tune your car because you're having to circumvent a digital protection on the software in your car. It's stupid.
Yeah, I don't like this. I hope that EFF is successful.
EFF, so do EFF? I. So,
how many Fs are there?
EFF.
Oh, okay.
Two
Fs.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously this isn't the final solution. The DMCA needs to be overhauled and rewritten. Content creators need protection for their works. I'm not saying that it should be freely piratable. You know, creators deserve to be paid for their work. I get that, but having the law so broadly written that all of these things start falling under it that shouldn't is just stupid.
Yeah, and loopholes and ways around things.
Well, it's not so much loopholes. Loopholes is ways around things, but like Brad says, when it's so broad that it encompasses everything, it's like any person with skin can't cross the street here.
It starts to become stupid.
Yeah.
like I said, this is not the solution, but until, you know, Congress gets its head out of its rear end and starts fixing things properly, hopefully the librarian will grant a exemption for tuning your car.
Yeah, because otherwise now you as a legal entity, could go after any racer, professional or otherwise, because that's what they're doing.
So yep.
One of the many specs of setting up a car is playing with the computer system.
Are you held like legally viable if your car breaks down on like the side of the road and you have to wrench on it?
No, we're not talking about wrenching. We're talking about changing the program in the computer system that manages your fuel and your air and all that kind of stuff. Race cars and even a lot of street people, they will tune their cars different fuel to air ratios to optimize performance or fuel efficiency. Now, if you do that, you could be sued for copyright infringement, prosecuted for copyright infringement.
Yes.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I hate people sometimes.
This is true.
And look at that. I didn't even go for hours.
You didn't. I'm impressed. Must be sick.
Self-restraint.
Turns out we edited. I mean. No, we didn't.
Actually, we did.
The segment was just completely cut.
Well, moving on.
All the listeners are at home are going, DRM? There wasn't a DRM segment. What?
DRM? What? Yes, there was. Well, keeping on the topic of legalities, laws, and accountability. We have a new company, or I say new to me, Yardarm Technologies, Yardarm Technologies.
Do I want to know what they make?
You do. Thank you for asking.
I'm actually scared about what they make.
They have produced electronic gun technology.
Oh, thank God.
That can track how, when, and where a weapon is used. Why is that important? Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
Why is that important?
Thank you for asking. this is important because of a lot of the police negativity with the law enforcement lately with the use or quote-unquote excessive use of their firearm. This is now a system that could be implemented that would hold law enforcement more accountable for when they unholster their weapon, when the magazine is inserted, when the first round is loaded into the chamber, when and where roughly the weapon is fired. So it's to try to keep maybe the cops more in line, as well as take out any confusion or ambiguity from police reports on, you know, why was the weapon discharged? Well, instead of the cop saying, well, I was X, Y, and Z, well, now you've got a report from the gun itself that says, okay, well, the weapon was unholstered at 6:45, it was discharged at 6:47, you know, whatever, at X, Y, and Z location.
What was that? There was something where, in like the state of California, where it takes less training to be a policeman, a cop, than like some low-ranking job. I forget what it was, but it was just scary.
Yeah, without more information, I can't make a statement on that.
I forget what the job was, but it was just, when you hear it, you're like, oh wow, that's disturbing.
Yeah. So, potentially electronic records for police firearm usage.
It's a GPS. Which is kind of cool. GPS for guns?
I'm all for technological advancements that are going to make guns safer.
But? I feel a but coming on here.
No, there is no but. I think we have become... Okay, so there is a but. But I don't know how far this will actually go. Yeah. To tie into this, there's a technology in development where a guy created an electronic safety for a firearm. You had to wear a bracelet and a key to your bracelet, you know, to prevent your firearm being stolen and used against you or against others.
Oh, okay.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and the first firearms dealer in the United States that said that they were going to carry it got death threats and told that they were unpatriotic and this is against the Second Amendment and this was just the worst thing ever.
Oh, God.
And all someone has to do is point out a family where the firearm was legally bought. It was, for the most part, for all intents and purposes, fairly safely stored, where a little kid stumbles upon it and shoots their kid brother.
So, tying in a little bit to our conversation earlier, and I know I'm kind of hijacking this a little bit, but
please, go for it.
Pit bulls are one of the most dangerous dogs known to mankind, if you believe the news, right?
Of course. I mean, isn't the news always right?
Right.
Right.
So.
Wrong. Oh, what?
Left. Yeah, no, absolutely. They are infallible. So, based on statistics, available statistics, one person in the U.S. is killed by a dog, just generic dog. We're not just talking about pit bulls. Generic dog. Every 18 days. One every 18 days.
Okay.
Typically, just because they are such a widely bred dog, half of those tend to be pit bulls.
Okay.
Again, that's not pit bulls being more dangerous, that's because there's more of them. Simple statistics.
Sure.
8 children are killed every day by a gun in the U.S. That means guns are 144 times more dangerous than pit bulls.
Yep.
Notice that, like, moment of silence there. Exactly. That was us processing the horror of that statement.
Yep.
That was, and yet, that was this is what really gets to me and it's got me worked up over this. This Yardarm Technologies, and I can't remember the name of the other guys, but these guys that are trying to bring more safety, more modernization, you know, bring the firearm into the 21st century and make it safer. And they get death threats and get told they're, you know, the scum of the earth. I don't get it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't
8 kids
see...
a day.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said 8 kids a day, every day.
Yeah. It's mind-blowing.
And it's and going back to, I forget what the kid's name was, who was apparently African-American.
The whole Missouri situation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like... This could have easily handled with this technology, and yet we're going to hear, or we did hear just weeks upon African-American, what, activists, I don't know what they're called.
Sure.
Just arguing, and I can't use a certain word that would actually be appropriate for this, for what they were doing, but it starts with a B. For just weeks on end, when this one little piece of technology could have saved a life and so much hassle.
Not so much saved a life. I mean, the Yardarm technology is just a record keeper. I mean, it would just say that, okay, well, this firearm was discharged at X, Y, and Z at this many times. Done. Recorded, saved in a database somewhere. The bracelet system is a safety. If I have my gun pointed at you and you somehow were to disarm me, at beyond a certain distance, 5 feet, 10 feet, whatever, you now can't use my gun because it's too far away from the bracelet.
Okay.
How so is that a bad thing? Now, what the Yardarm deal is, it's accountability. It's holding the cops responsible because now there's data, there's a report that they either have to... have their statement agree with, or be, you know, found that they're being, you know, fabricating their story. You know, this doesn't mean that weapons will never be discharged again. It just means that there's more clarity or transparency from the discharge to the truth.
Okay, let me rephrase the statement. This goes back with Bradley. If there wasn't any opposition where they were, this technology was allowed to continue unhindered,
mm-hmm.
to where we got to a certain point where it was like, this person has his hands up and is not a threat to these officers. There is no reason for them to discharge the weapon. The weapon won't fire.
Yeah, you. I mean, you're obviously you're going to an extreme theory.
Agreed.
And obviously we're nowhere near that, but... You know, the other
but we're not even allowed to get started. Anybody that starts trying to make it safer is branded as, you know, anti-Second Amendment and anti-guns and the worst piece of crap ever.
Yeah.
We're never going to get to safe anything if we don't start. I agree that Yardarm and the bracelet aren't the final answer, but it's better than what we've got now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a step in the right direction. I mean, yep. I guess my question is, what are cops doing with lethal weapons anyway? I mean, you've got the pepper bag guns, you've got pepper spray, you've got...
tasers, you got...
rubber bullets, you've got all these different weapons that can get the job done without the loss of life on either side, yet they're still carrying standard firearms. So, I mean... I guess I wonder about that, especially when after the Missouri incident, that wasn't the only one. Other stories were popping up too, and they always will. But anyway, we're kind of ranting a little bit.
Well, so I guess I'll take over here. Still kind of speaking about guns, but the most recent Call of Duty, the Advanced Warfare, Apparently is getting decent reviews and is being called the best Call of Duty we've had in years. Eurogamer did come out to say, I have this here, is another Call of Duty, familiar and at times frustrating, but without a doubt the finest COD game we've had in years. And that's just in one site. There is the, on the show notes, there's a link to a Reddit with all the scores. Out of 100, I didn't see anything below 80. Out of the, 5, I didn't see anything below a 4. Out of a 10, I didn't see anything below an 8. So apparently, with Sledgehammer, this is their first actual partnership, not just helping out. And Kevin Spacey, obviously. This was the shot that was needed to revive this franchise for just a little bit more.
I haven't got the game yet, but it is certainly on my short list. And the thing that put... I have a couple of the Call of Duty games, but the thing that really put this on my short list was Kevin Spacey. Yeah. His acting is absolutely amazing. I've liked him in several movies. He's great in House of Cards. And just the cutscene trailers that they released months ago, he's just amazing.
I have been
told, and that's really what put it over the top for me. Sorry, go ahead.
I have been told that the graphics on this movie by a coworker who's playing it on, game, that is playing this on PS4, he says that they went so in-depth with the skins that they actually have, you can actually see pores of the skin. They animated the pores. Like, they went that detailed in the cinematics and in the graphics of this game that it is on that cusp of being truly lifelike.
I'm just glad they didn't use, they didn't use the exosuits and Kevin Spacey as just a selling point and just went, all right, let's knock off for lunch. We got the people. They put a lot of work into this. One of the YouTubers that I watch, he's not a Call of Duty fan, and he's like, yeah, this is great.
I mean, it's got aspects of... There's actually giant robots in it called Titans that, is kind of a call-out to Titanfall a little bit. But at the same time, they're like, yeah, we don't care. We're calling them Titans. But you've got players against massive machines like Titanfall. These aren't machines that I don't think you can inhabit these machines like Titanfall. But they're giant
beefier
mechs.
Suits.
Is that what they are?
They're just beefier suits. That's all they are.
But yeah, you've got the standard exosuit that has all different, sounds like modules you can upgrade on.
Oh yeah, there's so much.
So you
much
can do
to
all
it.
Sorts of different things. You can double jump and then dash in the air in
several
different directions
times.
A few times. So yeah, it's pretty cool. A lot of things that were said with older Call of Duties is that if another player had to jump on you or you had to jump on them, that was kind of the defining factor to a firefight. It's what in racing we'd call the hole shot. The first person to get to the turn who was able to avoid all the traffic typically did really well in the race. Well, now with the exosuits and the ability to quickly dash in different directions, that factor is mitigated and it now becomes more of a fair fight. You don't have to rely on that sole element of surprise around a turn. You could be on the receiving end and still come out on top.
Yeah, so. He even said that sniping is significantly more difficult because people are able to move faster.
Well, that and they can't quickscope anymore.
Then dash, and apparently quickscoping is out of the picture. So,
and my understanding of quickscoping is lining it up before scope, zooming in and quickly shooting right off the bat without having it settle down. I don't really know.
I thought it was just like zoom and zoom a shot. I was like, okay, that's all I thought it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I just have heard the term, so.
I'm just going to shoot you. Done.
So yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if for the Xbox copies if live is required.
Well, didn't they back out and Live is free, but Live Gold is...
That's how Xbox Live always was. You have, like, a free Live, but if you want a Live Gold, that you would actually have to...
Correct, but all the gameplay content has always required gold, which is a price.
Okay.
And that's why I like gaming on PC.
That's why I like PlayStation. Buy the game
and you're already online, because it's most likely you're buying it off Steam.
Yep.
I wonder if it'll be Mac compatible, because that would be awesome.
I agree it would be awesome. I have my reservations.
Agreed.
Sadly, people don't like Mac very much.
So.
No, but it might be one more nail in the coffin of me partitioning my Mac and putting Windows on there.
Yeah, I've got a few games on my list. Assassin's Creed came out supposedly, a week or so ago. I haven't bought that yet. Far Cry 4 is either out or coming out soon.
I think it's soon because I haven't seen. Call of Duty
that wasn't necessarily on my list with Destiny that just came out, but... Sadly, Destiny was not, I think, what we all thought it was going to be.
You know what's sad? They're already in works for Destiny 2.
Yeah. If you're trying to build an MMO first-person shooter, you shouldn't be quick to turn around and make a sequel to it. You should be trying to expand and make the community bigger.
They did have an expansion for it, or they're working on it, but to already be in, works for Destiny 2, come on, guys.
Yeah, you're a little premature.
But back to the topic at hand. Call of Duty Advanced Warfighter, great game, apparently. I'm kind of want to get it now, but I have been burned before. The Zombies mode is coming. You do not need the Season Pass for that. It's just DLC. So, if you like your zombies, or like shooting zombies in the head, you'll still get that, but at a upper price, which I'm not really too salty about. Like, if you don't want it, you don't have to buy it.
Yeah, it's just sad. I mean, we've talked about this before, in that the game companies feel that they don't have to release a complete game anymore because they can allow DLC later or make additional money because, we were going to put this level in before, but we'd rather charge you for it. So that's a downer.
Well, if you think of the first Call of Duty, the one that got particular... hype didn't have a zombies before it. Didn't need it. Still became very popular, which spawned the franchise, or made the franchise a big hit, so.
Yep. Well, that was long-winded on Call of Duty and gaming, which is fine. But that's where we're going to wrap it up, I think.
Do remember, BlizzCon is this week, starting the 7th. You can get the virtual ticket. There is a link in the show notes that will keep you updated for everything Blizzard is doing for probably the next year or two.
Fantastic. Like we said earlier on, keep posted on the Facebook, social media. We'll let you know if we will, in fact, have an episode next week or if it will be getting pushed back. So keep posted, and we'll let you know.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap. See you later.